The opinions expressed are those of the show hosts and may not necessarily be of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to podcast number 371 of the Technology Podcast Series. I'm Jared Reimer. On this edition of the podcast, I've got a couple of items for you. First, we're going to go ahead and take an opportunity and give you a Fillmore video voicemail update based on new information that we learned since podcast 370 was released. And there are still outstanding questions, but this is probably going to be the best we can do. And again, it is a new product, it's revolutionary, and who knows where it'll go. The Jared Reimer Network will stand neutral. Finally, in our second segment, we're going to take a little bit of time and talk a little bit about LastPass's failures to let us know what's really going on with their breach. It seems as though they had multiple breaches within the last, call it, 6 months of 2022. Yet the emails that we've been receiving and a recent blog post indicates they did not do enough. Email and iMessage tech@menvi.org. That's tech@menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And we'll repeat this information at the end of the program. I hope that you all will enjoy the program as much as I am bringing it to you. And I hope to try and bring more technology podcasts as time allows. I thank you for listening, and make it a great day. Welcome to podcast number 371. I'm Jared Reimer. Well, we're learning more information about the new product that recently was shown at CES called Video Voicemail from Fillmore Productions. Now, granted, there's probably still more to learn, and we are learning about it from a caller's side. As we talked about, there is the capability of seeing people's phone numbers. Now, this is all well and good, but what we didn't know at the time of podcast was that the inside subscriber can actually change these settings. So if you only want to allow people to leave voicemail, you can actually do that. And it is contained within the app. There has been discussion between Michael in Indiana, who was on this program to talk about the app, and Fillmore Productions. So when Fillmore Productions went ahead and turned off contact points, the app then became what we might say in the security industry, more secure. Now, I'm not saying for 1 minute that having the ability for people to call you or email you or text you is a bad thing. But in today's society, I don't know if having things open like that is such a good idea. And this is my personal opinion. And there are people that may say, I don't care. And that's fine. So the subscriber of the service who will be paying for this does have the ability to change what information is public and what remains hidden, and it has been confirmed to be the case. The only thing is that we don't know what the defaults are. Michael has asked Fillmore Productions about what the defaults might be, i.e., are these contact points on by default or off by default? And of course, we really don't know what the price is. He has not said. But we do know there's either a 7-day free trial or a 14-day free trial as a subscriber. And callers do not pay. So depending on how you set up the app will depend on how it's going to behave. And so maybe it might not be such a bad security problem as we once thought it was when initially looking at it. Now, to be fair, I have not downloaded the app myself, and I don't see myself doing so. If I want voicemail, I will either pay for it through where I am now on LiveWire, or if I really cared, I could keep my Telespace box active, although I've had people say they haven't been able to call the numbers. For now, I'm going to leave everything alone, and if people would like voicemail, they can let me know, and I'm sure I can make arrangements to do so. That's really the biggest update I have on this product. And as I said in the last podcast, it is definitely a revolutionary piece of software, something that has probably not been done before. Some of us think that it might not go anywhere, but I don't want to make that prediction on a public forum when it's just released. I think what I want to do is I want to see what the market dictates. Will it dictate that it's going to be a success for the company? Or will it fail like some of us predicted it might when it was first in the talking stages? I don't honestly know, and it's not for me to judge. But that will complete this update on this, because I feel that people should know what we're learning, and if it's wrong, we, quote unquote, correct the record. I'm Jared Reimer. Thanks so much for listening, and this will complete this update. found, it's a little bit outdated by a good week, and it will be posted to the TSB list and blogged in the not too distant future. And it talks about how there are definitely reasons to not talk about a breach, but at the same time, customers, whether they pay for it or not, need to know what's going on. And as we talked about in the Security Box podcast, I had a Twitter conversation with someone who goes by Daryl Knutson, and he lives in Canada, or at least his profile says Canada. And he mentioned to me that LastPass had not been forthright with their customers, and I'm not in disagreement in that regard. The reason why I say this is because the email that I got, which I clearly remember getting, pretty much indicated that there was a breach, and to go to the blog. So I was doing some LastPass work, and I talked about this on the recently released Security Box podcast, number 127, where I said that I had changed my iteration count from 5,000 iterations to 1,000,000, which was recommended by SecurityNow's Steve Gibson. Why LastPass didn't do this, I don't know. But what was more concerning was that some of the iterations were set at 1 and were never changed by LastPass themselves. And in podcast 905, Steve Gibson said that this is something that can be done without the user's knowledge. Sure, they might have to re-log in, but if you don't tell LastPass to remember your password, and I do that not because I don't know my LastPass master password, but because I'm always doing stuff. And you're going to have to log into LastPass every time if you don't. And I figure with the 2 weeks for login, if I don't log in 2 weeks, it's probably going to log me out anyway. But regardless, knowing that my iterations were 5,000, I probably would have been okay because they stated in the blog post that they have made it a requirement, and I forget the year, that master passwords must be at least 12 characters. Some of the questions that have been raised during Security Now episode 905 talked about differences between random passwords versus something that we want to try and use to remember. And somebody had a 25 character truly random password using Steve Gibson's password haystacks page, which I believe the URL is grc.com/passwords. And that's all well and good. He said that was definitely going to be a strong enough password which would take quite a long time to deal with. He said anything more than 20 would probably be not worth doing, but it's better. And I'm at the default 12, and I could, in theory, go in and change it. I could, in theory, make it longer. But I also know that I have two-factor enabled. Now, I know people have probably jumped ship, and the last update that LastPass posted was in December of 2022, and they have not posted anything since. Now, there are millions of customers at LastPass, and I know that from listening to these types of podcasts, password managers pretty much work the same way in one form or another. Some may not be accessible to those with disabilities, while others are. But they all pretty much work the same way. And they all can store a huge amount of data. I think the problem that we have is that my understanding is that LastPass is based on the East Coast of the United States. And the article that I'm blogging says that most companies are based in California and have to follow California's strict privacy laws. But if indeed the case is that LastPass is on the East Coast, there isn't one uniform law that they have to follow to notify us of anything. The article states that there are 50 different laws, one by each state. And how are you going to keep track of all of these laws when you have a massive data breach? Some states may not need you to report it, while others may, and it's hard to differentiate that, says the article. I say, tell us what you know, when you know, as quickly as you can, within reason, but please don't leave us in the dark. Steve Gibson even said he doesn't even know if LastPass will end up staying in business after this. And Leo Laporte and Steve Gibson both said that LastPass should, in theory, be sued for this massive breach. But the question is, how are you going to sue without proving that damage has been lost? As I said, I've got a 12-character password. Yes, it's probably not the best I could do, but I'm sure I know what it is, and I did make it memorable in my own way. So, how do we balance this? Well, there's probably multiple breaches that are going on, and I think they've tried to do the best they can. But at the same time, we are learning more. Like I said, listen to episode 905, where somebody created a PowerShell script, which could then pretty much exfiltrate the data right out of your LastPass vault. But I believe that for this to work, you have to be logged in. So, it may not be as bad as we think it could be, but at the same time, a company as large as LastPass and has as many customers as LastPass does must be transparent and tell us everything they know. They started to do that with the initial breach, but once they found out stuff was on the loose, they quit communicating. And at least some people might leave LastPass. But I definitely need to do my homework to determine what is accessible so that if I really feel that it's time to leave, I can export my data and move to another password manager. It is not going to be easy, and it is going to be a pain. But if it is that necessary, LastPass needs to tell us how bad it is so that we can decide whether we're going to trust them with our very sensitive data or not. For the Technology Podcast series, I'm Jared Reimer. Your comments are welcome. Here's contact information once again. Email and iMessage tech, that's TECH, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Remember that we have a weekly show called The Security Box that also is on this same feed, and you're welcome to grab it and listen to what's going on in the security landscape in a talk show format. Of course, we'll have other things on this podcast when time allows, and we may include webinars to boot. So stay tuned. We've got plenty more coming up. I'm Jared Reimer. Thanks so much for listening.